Welcome to DollarCollapse.com with John Rubino, your ringside seat for the global financial crisis.
Hi, everybody. It is Monday, February 29th, and as usual, lots of interesting stuff going on out there. And gold is finishing up a really good month, one of its best months in the past several years. It's up 15% on the year and is the best performing asset class out there now. It beats stocks, bonds, and real estate so far this year, which is admittedly just 2 months. But still, you know, from a gold bug perspective, it's nice to see this happening. And when the next bull market in gold really gets going, this is what the first part of it will feel like. So let's enjoy it while we can and hope it continues. One of the really positive things in the gold market, from my point of view, came from Rick Rule at Sprott Asset Management over the weekend. He did an interview in which he was optimistic. And the reason that matters is that he's a very articulate guy who's frequently the voice of reason in what is often an unreasonable market in precious metals. And for the past few years, even though, for instance, the junior gold miners have just gotten crushed, you know, they're down 70, 80, 90%, he's been saying, nope, not yet. It's not yet time to buy because we haven't seen capitulation yet. The junior miners haven't become willing to accept financing on terms that are favorable for investors rather than favorable for the miners themselves. Well, apparently that's changed lately because Rick Rule was very, very optimistic in this interview and basically said it's time to start buying. You know, he said that prices are low enough and gold is starting to move in the right direction, that the next bull market in the gold mining shares very possibly has begun. He also said that early on, money flows into the big safe names to begin with, the Newmonts, the Agnico Eagles, because people are shell-shocked from the past few years' carnage, and they aren't willing to take a leap of faith on some little miner that might or might not go out of business and might or might not go up by 1,000%. You know, they want something that in a positive market for gold prices will do very well, but if gold turns around, won't cost you all of your investment. So money flows into the good names first. And that also includes ETFs like GDX, which own a basket of the big miners. You know, something like that will tend to do well as the big miners that it owns go up. And then you get later on the mid-tiers followed by the juniors. So this is a multi-stage process if it's a new bull market for gold in which leadership will change hands a few times. You know, first the big names, then the mid-tiers, and then the juniors will really start rocking a year from now, let's say. And when they do, they're potential 10-baggers. You know, these things have been beaten down to the point where they can double and double again and double again and still not be back to the price that they started from before they had their brutal bear market. Rule is also really optimistic about the royalty and streaming companies that I think bears a little explanation because these are companies that don't mine gold. But what they do is they raise money and then they use that cash to finance other companies who are mining gold and silver. So they'll go to, say, a copper miner and say, here, we'll give you some money up front if you give us the silver that you make as a byproduct of your copper mining. And you give it to us at a very low price going forward. So that builds in this long-term stream of very cheap metal flowing into the streaming companies. And if, first of all, the mines that they're financing continue to function, and second of all, the price of gold and silver are stable or higher from here, these guys generate massive cash flows. And so when this really gets going, they'll put up phenomenal numbers and they'll become the growth stocks of the next market move. And the biggest streaming companies are Franco-Nevada, Royal Gold, and Silver Wheaton, all of which are way down from their highs, but not down nearly as far as junior miners. You know, they've been relatively stable because they've been functioning companies, but they're still cheap by the standards that might apply in a bull market a few years hence. So from a gold bug's perspective, Rick Rule's conversion from wait and see to start loading up is a really positive thing. Now let's move on to something completely different. Politics is interesting in a different way this year. I've got a series on dollarcollapse.com called Why We're Ungovernable, which talks about the effects of overborrowing. In other words, when a society takes on too much debt, it becomes hard to manage the economy. It becomes hard to grow, and it becomes hard to finance all the goodies that governments have gotten used to handing out. And so politics gets harder and harder because people don't feel like the government and the big banks and the other major companies that really act as partners with the government at cyclical peaks are working for them anymore. So they're willing to vote for outsiders. And you see that all around the world. The National Front, which was kind of a right-wing party, formerly a fringe party in France, is now the leading vote getter in most polls. And a lot of other European countries have either installed far right or far left, which is to say anti-Euro governments, or on the verge of doing so. And here in the U.S., Donald Trump, who at least presents himself as the ultimate outsider, just got endorsements from Jean-Marie Le Pen, who is kind of a neo-fascist political leader in France, and in the U.S., an ex-KKK leader. And Trump's numbers went up after that. So that's a sign that the system isn't functioning the way it used to, and that somebody like Trump can say or do all kinds of things that you didn't used to be able to get away with and get away with it. You know, he looks bulletproof from the point of view of offending certain groups in society or saying things that on further reflection don't make any sense or being incredibly rude to people who may not deserve that kind of rudeness. You know, he's getting away with all that. And the reason is that voters are tired of business as usual because they don't see it working for them anymore. And that's yet another sign that we're heading for a major financial crisis. You know, political unrest is a leading indicator or a coincident indicator, depending on where it's taking place, of financial problems. And when you have a financial crisis, you get a political crisis, which frequently leads to an even bigger financial crisis. And so we're in that kind of a feedback loop right now. And where it leads is hard to say, but there's a good chance that it leads to even greater chaos than we've seen in the last few years. I just posted a video on dollar collapse as part of the classic videos series where I find things from the past that people should see again. And this one is of Margaret Thatcher in the House of Commons debating European integration. In other words, should Great Britain become part of what is now known as the European Union, and should it adopt what is now called the Euro? And she comes down firmly on the no side of that debate, and she sounds really prescient based on what's happened today. Most people in Britain, I think, would, should they see this, be grateful that Thatcher and her intellectual successors stood in the way of Great Britain becoming part of the Eurozone. And if Thatcher was around now, there's a pretty good chance that she would be on the Brexit side of the coming referendum. In other words, she would probably vote to leave the European Union and bring power back to the British Parliament rather than, as it's been done over the past couple of decades, keep handing more and more power to unelected European Union bureaucrats. So we're seeing a political pendulum swing in that sense, away from further integration and towards national control of monetary policy and fiscal policy and immigration. And that's the biggest driver right now in the chaos in the Eurozone and in the Brexit movement. And that, as weather gets warmer, is not going to go away. You know, the chaos in the Middle East, although it's died down a little bit lately, probably isn't going to go away. And there are going to be more and more hot spots in the years ahead that will lead to more and more people trying to get into Europe. So the Europeans are in the process of walking back their open market for human movement. In other words, it's not a given now that if you are accepted into one European country that you can then travel unimpeded to all the other European countries. And that has economic ramifications, obviously, and financial ramifications. And we'll see how it plays out in the years ahead. But it adds to the sense that world trade is not going to be the driver of growth going forward. It shrank in the last year, which is highly unusual. And it continues to shrink. And a big part of that is that people don't see free movement of people and capital. Anyhow, that's all for this week. More coming next week.
Thanks for listening to Dollar Collapse. For regular info and updates throughout the day, go to dollarcollapse.com.